Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I pray that everybody does. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. So we can all get on the same page. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God wants to increase our faith so that we will be in position to receive what He has for us. Hallelujah. How many know there's something important about positioning? You know, sometimes, one of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about is sometimes we just need to step in. You know, I don't know about you, but I can step a little closer to the Lord. Amen. He says, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. When I was looking at that, I was saying, Lord, you know, I want to go a little deeper. Does anybody want to go in a little deeper in the things of God?
Amen.
You know, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said this, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. We're here today, we're here to celebrate the day of Pentecost. You know, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. The Lord was speaking to me the other day just about that word fully. God says to you and I today, everything has already been fully done. And you and I have to, by faith, step into what has already been accomplished and already been done. So many times we're looking for God to do something else, and God's waiting for us to step into and receive what He's already done.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? God, the Spirit of God has a word to say to you today, and He wants to strengthen you in His power and might. He says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. Let's say first, let's go back here again to one accord. Amen. I believe sometimes we need to go to that little Honda sometime to get a little closer to one another. That's the pastor's corn coming out, the Honda Accord, right? But he says, but they were all one accord, coming in unity and one place. And what does he say? And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Amen. You know what I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to do? To fill the house where we're sitting. Amen. And you know what? To stir us up. Is it okay to get excited about Jesus? Amen. So in our text today, you know, I said, I was asking the Lord, why am I going here? And I guess we'll see. You know that God has something to say to everyone. Let me say this to you. The whole message may not be for everyone, but something is for everyone. As this word is going forth, God has something to say to everyone. How many know that He counts you valuable and you have a lot of value and worth? Amen. No matter what the world has said to you, God says to you today, you have great value and you have great worth, and I've called you for a time such as now, and I want to place my hand upon your life, and I want you to rise up and be the man and woman that I called you to be. No matter what man has said to you, I say to you today, arise, and the enemy will be scattered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Is it okay to get a little excited about Jesus? I'm not going to pardon the way I preach because I get excited about the one I serve. If you knew where I've been and what God delivered me out of, you'd be excited too. Hallelujah. Come on now. But in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 10, the Word of God says this, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And then, lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Today, I titled this morning's message this morning, Immersed in His Love. And he's sending his word today to perfect, to pattern, to position, and to promote. Amen? Is everybody with me here? Can we all come into agreement? Can we lift the word? I love the power of agreement. You know, half the time we can't hardly agree on anything.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So can you repeat after me? And we're saying this to the Lord. We're not saying it to me. But say, repeat after me. Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me.
I am
what God's word says I am.
I can have
everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. Father, I'm grateful that you sent it here. And I pray as Isaiah prayed, Father God, send the angel with the tongs to that altar to take those coals and place those coals upon my lips, because I'm a man of unclean lips. May the words that flow out of this mouth be from you and not from me. And when all is said and all is done and everything is accomplished, all glory and honor and praise will be unto you alone. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, his love, we're immersed in his love. I don't know, he never ceases to amaze me when I look at the agape, the unconditional, the unmerited love of God, you know. So one of the things first is his love was sent to perfect. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse number 14. Speaking of Jesus, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, that this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Amen. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made, in him was the life was the light of man, the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Even though John was older in the natural, Jesus was older in the spiritual, because Jesus was God become man. Amen. So, and he said, in this, and of this fullness, we all receive grace for grace. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for the grace of God.
Amen.
You know what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. Amen. And he didn't do things for me just because I deserve it. For by grace we are saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What Jesus does for you and I, he's always pouring out his grace and his mercy. Amen. How many need grace? Wait a minute. Whoa, here the Holy Spirit wants to ask a question. How many need to show some other people some grace? How many can do better at it? Holy Spirit, you see our hands. Do a work in each and every one of us. He who has begun a good work in us is faithful to see it through until it's completed. God never starts something he doesn't finish. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So the writer of Hebrews, when I'm talking about perfected in his love, In Hebrews chapter 2, I assure you one thing, you might not hear today what you want to hear, but you're going to hear what you need to hear. Amen. Isn't God cool? In verse number 10, the writer of Hebrews says this, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will desire thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God have given me." Repeat after me. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. We have responsibility to raise our children up in the things of God. Train them up as a child, it won't depart from them. Hallelujah. He says to us in 1 John, when I'm talking about perfect love, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. John the beloved, immersed in love, "And we have known," verse 16, "and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in us. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Boy, one of the things there, boy, that always challenges me. Hello? But he reminds us, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. God wants us to be immersed in his love. And as we're being immersed in his love is to perfect us. And one of the things that God wants us to understand, there is no weapon that formed against us that shall prosper. God will never allow more on us than we can bear. And sometimes the things that are on us, they're on us because we allowed them and we didn't trust God with them. We thought we could do them in our own power and our own strength. And guess what? We were too weak. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, I glorify him in my infirmities, that his power may rest upon me. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need his power. How many need some God power? All right? Can we have fun in here? Amen? You know, if you declare and you decree the word, there's something that happens inside of you. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You have to speak it. It has to come out of your mouth to get into your ear. Sometimes when I'm reading the word, the Lord told me, say, hey, son, when you read your word, read it out loud. So I'm reading the word and I'm studying the word. I'm studying out loud because something's generated inside of me when I'm speaking the word because I'm hearing it. I'm seeing it. I'm speaking it. I'm hearing it. And it's handling all the functions of my spirit man, my natural man. What is our natural man? Our feelings. Amen. Smile. God is love. Remember. There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Right. All God is saying to you and I, his love is poured out to perfect us, because God has more for us than we're realizing and have revelation of and that we're living in, that he's more than enough. He's El Shaddai. There's nothing too large. There's nothing too great. There's nothing bigger than the Lord we serve. See, first he said to us, he sent it to perfect us. Secondly, for thus it becometh us, in our text today, to pattern. to pattern. And Matthew 11, let's go to Matthew 11. How many know it's okay to preach familiar scriptures? Amen. How many know that every time God brings me and you to a familiar scripture, he shows us something else we missed along the way? Yes. Amen. How many know that's about how God loves you so much? One of the things the Lord was saying to me, I want you to get a hold of this. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, Pentecost is fully come, and God wants us to have revelation, apocalypsis. He wants us to, he's unveiling something to us. He wants us to have revelation of who we are in him. If you recognize and you have revelation of who you are in him, the enemy cannot steal that from you.
Amen.
Amen. How many know this is a no-so mentality? Not a think-so. I remember I used to motivate salesmen and get out of the mindset, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Get your mindset set, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. Hallelujah. But he says, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11. Verse number 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is anybody facing something that's really heavy on them? Sometimes we get to the place where things seem overbearing. They seem too heavy on you and I. And what God is saying to us is, why are you carrying what I should carry for you? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if I'm overburdened, guess what? I'm carrying something that doesn't belong. God didn't call me to carry. So what do I have to do with it? I got to cast my cares upon him, for I know that he cares for me. Amen. So he tells us in John 13, now here you got John the Baptist, which was his elder, which was his younger in the spirit realm. And Jesus gave us an example. Jesus had John the Baptist baptize him. Yep. Whose benefit was that for?
John's.
For John's.
Yeah.
And for you. And for me. God showed you how Jesus humbled himself and took on the form of man. Here, God took the form of man, and he submitted to man. He says in John chapter 13, verse 13, Jesus said, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Then he says, if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye that do them. Guess what? Whoever's the greatest among us is the greatest servant. Hello? And guess what? In the kingdom of God, if you will not serve, God will never look at you as a leader. Hello? Amen? I'm following Jesus. And if Jesus got down and washed his brother's feet, I get down and I wash your feet.
Amen.
I'm not lording over you. I'm not looking down at you. I'm getting down with you so that we can all rise together in the kingdom of God. Hello? Hello? No matter where you are with your walk with the Lord, God loves you right where you're at, and he loves you so much, he is not going to leave you there. He's got great plans for your life. Hey, man, can somebody give him a shout of praise? The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21. The apostle says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were, past tense, as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." So as we're immersed in his love, he sent his word to perfect. He's given us the pattern to follow, but he's also, to fulfill all righteousness, he has given us a position to position us.
Yes.
To position us. And if you look with me in Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah 42, are you with me? The word of God says in verse 6, he says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that are in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." This is what he says to us today. He said, "Sow this word into your hearts and spirits today. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Oh, there's something that's springing forth. There's something that's coming forth. There's something that's being birthed in the atmosphere. And God's going to arise, and the enemy's going to be scattered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now. Is it okay to get a little excited about the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's been so good to me. Amen. He's been good to me because he brought you here today.
Yeah.
Amen. That's how much he loves me and loves you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 23, he said, "You keep on preaching, keep on going." Yeah, we'll go to the Lord says we're done. Here's what's going to take place. He's calling back. Come on, listen to me. He says in verse number 3, "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." Come on, look at the one next to you and say, "God is so doing something brand new, brand new, brand new." Hallelujah. "Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Why are they becoming new? Because we're ushering in the return of our Lord and Savior, and he's a jealous God. He's not going to leave those behind that look like they were going to be left behind. He's coming for every last one. Hallelujah. We're calling back every son and daughter in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, no matter where your children have drifted to, no matter where they have gone, we're declaring, we're decreeing they belong to the Lord, and we're calling them back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we go to Romans chapter 8, and we're looking at the position. Hallelujah. I think when I preach, I get loud because I was hard-headed as a young man. Is anybody else here? Come on, come on. Is anybody else hard-headed in the place? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Here's what the Lord says to you about it being immersed in His love and the position. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can we give him some praise and glory in the house? Hallelujah. Praise God. So in closing, the first close. You know what? When I go into closing and I say closing, people let down the defenses because they say, oh, it's about over. Hallelujah. Here's what the Lord says to you and I today. In Jeremiah chapter 33, you know, he talks about the pastors that didn't take care of their sheep. Sometimes as pastors, we have a tendency sometimes to get fleshy and drive people away. Guess what? There's no perfect pastor. But we serve a perfect God. And God wants you to understand that He's called you and appointed you and anointed you for the time that you're in now. He didn't do that because you had it all together. Because if you thought that you had it all together, you wouldn't need Him. And if you didn't need Him, then you'd be doing it in your own strength and your own power. And most of the time, we would hurt others. But He says to us, after He corrected the pastors, He was drawing the flock back. Come on. He's drawing the flock back. He says in verse 6, behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. So what is the Lord saying to you and I today? God wants you to recognize that you're immersed in His love. He sent His word to perfect us, to give us the pattern, the Father, that we've got heavenly positions. And with this position comes promotion. But one of the key, He reminds me of the party. How many have something in their life that they know doesn't belong there? Come on, don't be afraid. What the Lord says today, He said in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It's Pentecost. It's a party. It's a celebration. Amen. And God wants to do some work in every heart and every life of every last one. God isn't finished with none of us yet. Hallelujah. So can we bow our heads and pray just for a moment? Father, I'm grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish something in every heart and every life. In the closing moments of the service, if you're here today and maybe you do not know Jesus, or maybe one time you knew him but you drifted away, you're not in the place that you need to be, and you feel the Spirit of God drawing you today, if that is you, would you slip your hand, just say it to me, Pastor. Is there anybody at all? Pastor, I need a fresh encounter with Jesus. Is there anybody at all? Well, thank you, Father God, that you brought all everybody here that's saved. So since they're saved, your word says what comes with salvation is healing, body, mind, soul, and spirit. So to celebrate Pentecost today, I would like for you to get up, and if you need something healed in your body, I'd like for you to come. Maybe you need healing in your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit. Don't be afraid to come. Please come. And you know what? We're going to get up here. Everybody's going to be around here before it's over with, so you might as well get up and make your journey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to have a Holy Ghost celebration.